Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 24 July, 2024. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. I'm glad you're with us, and I sincerely do mean that. I'm glad you're out there tonight. Bless us with your presence. And I wish I could meet every one of you. I really do. I know it might take a while, but I'd love to do that. Just say hi to you and thank you for being faithful to be a listener to this broadcast for over 31 years. A lot of you in there at least in 20-some years or more. But thank you for that. And tomorrow being Thursday, God willing, I'll be in the office till about 10 in the morning. I thought I'd be here at noon, but I got to leave at 10 and take my wife to two doc's appointments. I'll be here between 9 and 10 in the office tomorrow. Chris will be here all day, take orders, whatever you want to do, ask questions, give donations perhaps, whatever you want to do tomorrow. The office will be open tomorrow, as always, from 9 to 4. I may be in later in the day, I don't know, but I'll be going tomorrow, leaving about 10 o'clock in the morning. So you want to call us tomorrow and ask any questions, order anything, call us at 800-777-4403, or you can dial 304-846-4448. That'll save us some money on the phone bill and get you right into us just the same, okay? So please feel free to call tomorrow with any questions, comments you want to give. And again, I'll make mention, we're asking if Dino in Wisconsin's okay. Dino, we're checking on you. I haven't heard from you about 2 months. I'm getting concerned for you, Dino. Are you still out there? Let us know you're okay. Give us a call tonight on the broadcast or tomorrow or whatever. Let us know you're still there. And don't forget, we're only about a month or so away from our natural family celebration. It's going to be taking place right here in Summersville, West Virginia at the Veterans Memorial Park. There'll be a flyer in August News Magazine about this. I hope if you live anywhere within driving distance, you'll come and join us. We're going to have a couple of fantastic singing groups. We're going to have some speakers like Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. We're going to have a great time in the Lord celebrating God's creation, the natural family. And I hope you bring your babies along with you, children. They can go swimming. They can play ball. What they want to do, the swimming pool, I think, is like $5 for anybody age 4 and up for all day. You're welcome to come and join us. Bring along a picnic lunch if you like. And a lawn chair, because when we start to sing, you may want to join us and sit down under the shelter with us. We'll have a shelter. You'll see a couple hundred people easily. Come and join us and listen to some good gospel singing, maybe some good old-time preaching. And let's have a good time together August 31st in Summersville, West Virginia. I hope you'll remember that and do come. Now, as I said, I'll be leaving tomorrow morning by 10 o'clock, maybe back later in the afternoon for maybe an hour or so. The next Thursday, I won't be here at all. I have a doctor's appointment also to get some things cleared up. And a good report on y'all, I know I've asked about the place on my foot that's been a sore from gout. Doctor said date is healing, about 2 months to go, and it should be okay. So anyway, thanks for your prayers. Thanks for being there for us. I hope we didn't forget anything, but don't forget we do still have the special and the flags we offer here. We want you to, if you can do it at all, to please fly the Christian flag somewhere around your home. Let people know who you are and what you stand for. You know, if we don't speak up, who's going to? And if Christians don't speak up for the glory of God, who's going to do it? You're not going to find any politician, that's for sure. We must do it ourselves as a church of the living God. Now, our guest tonight, as I mentioned last night, is Dr. Bo Kirkwood. He wrote a book entitled A Purpose-Driven God. Now, I just received my copy today. I've had a chance to go through it somewhat. It's going to be a very good read. In this book, he explains the exquisite design of the universe. And it implies an intellect behind it. Well, obviously, those that know Christ know it is. His background is Dr. Bo Kirkwood is a retired family physician. He graduated from the University of Houston with a bachelor's degree in biology, from the University of Houston Clear Lake with a M.A. in behavioral science, University of Health Science Center in Fort Worth, North Texas University with a medical degree. He practiced family medicine in his hometown of Pasadena, Texas for 36 years. He was a professor of medicine for Lincoln Memorial University Medical School, as well as an adjunct professor of medicine at McGovern Medical School in Houston, Baylor Medical School in Houston, and the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas. So obviously, this man is qualified to speak about creation, biology, and man, and just all overall creation. He's a spatial speaker. He loves to show people the truth of God's design in his creation. And this book, I'll just read a bit about it. We'll get to our guest. Intelligent design gets you to the goal line, so to speak, but never gets you into the end zone. Dr. Kirkwood said, my book gets you into the end zone by identifying the designer, which intelligent design by itself never does. My book is also about purpose, which intelligent design presupposes but never expressly articulates. Using scientific concepts such as relativity and quantum mechanics, as well as logic and reason, Dr. Kirkwood explores answers to some of life's most perplexing questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Why is there something and not nothing? To help readers better understand and embrace humanity's role in the universe. The answers to these questions are more than just academic. They're vitally important in forming a world view. Now, I like that statement. Folks, there are only two worldviews in this world. Only two. The Christian worldview or the humanist worldview. There is no other God besides Jehovah God. Only one true God, one true creator. Either you are expressing the worldview of a Christian from the Word of God, from the foundation of the Word of God and His commandments and statutes, or you're expressing another false religion, I guess you could say, or a humanistic worldview that is opposes a lot of what the Word of God says. So it's either a Christian worldview or a humanistic satanic worldview. It's your choice. This book will help you understand why we need to look at the world through the eyes of our Creator and understand as best we can as mere mortals and what it means to be on this earth and what our goals are. And Dr. Bo, are you there?
I'm there. I'm here.
It is good to have you, sir, and I do mean that. Thanks for taking time to join us tonight. When I read your little bio and some of your book excerpts online a week or two ago, I was impressed with what it said. That's why I called you and asked you to come on the program with us and share your knowledge, your input, and also I'm looking forward to reading this book. I went through it some today, and I read some of the quotes in there. I'm looking at, you put a lot of time in this 270-page book, whatever it is. You put a lot of time and effort in this book, and I understand your brothers helped you also in this with some other books. But tell us, if you don't mind, a little bit about yourself. Who is Dr. Bo Kirkwood, and why did you take time to write a book like this?
Well, thank you. First of all, I like your intro song, by the way. We are at war.
Yes, we are.
People don't realize that, but I talk about that in my book. We are in a spiritual war, and if you don't think so, you haven't read your New Testament. So, yeah, I really like that intro. Like you said, I grew up in the southeast of Houston, a little town called Pasadena. Grew up, quote-unquote, in the church. And was taught the basic principles of the Bible and the New Testament at an early age. Became a Christian at age 16. Gave my life to Christ at that time. Always had an interest in the sciences in high school. My favorite subjects were science-related, especially biology. Therefore, I got my bachelor's degree in biology. And about the second year in college, I decided to go to medical school. at church where I grew up, the one of the elders at the church there was a practicing physician. He was a big influence in my life, not only my life, but a lot of others. He brought a lot of people to Christ, but he also brought a lot of people to the healthcare profession, and I being one of many. Went to medical school and came back to practice with him. I was going to practice for a couple of years with him, and he was going to retire, but he let me know very early on that the year I joined him in 1983, that would be his last year. He was retiring after that. So from 83 on, he was no longer there. Eventually, I was joined in practice by my two brothers, as you mentioned already, Dr. Ron and John Kirkwood. My brother John is still in practice. Brother Ron is now retired as well. During that time, I always had an interest in what has been called apologetics, trying to prove to the non-believer that there is a God and that the most likely identifier of that God is the God of the Old and New Testament, Jehovah God. But I always had that interest. I looked at the writings early on of Dwayne Gish and other people that wrote about the lack of fossil evidence for evolution, because every biology class I took in both high school and college presupposed evolution, but really never tried to quote-unquote prove it. It was just presupposed that it was proven, which, of course, is not true.
And isn't it amazing how that lie, that absolute falsehood, has permeated our society for so many years?
It is, and it's because they have nothing else. I'm talking about the theistic atheistic scientist.
There you go.
The atheistic scientist has nowhere else to fall back on. That's really the only theory they've got. But evolution shouldn't even be called a theory. It doesn't rise to the scientific level of a theory. You can call it a philosophy, I suppose. But when you look at it from a scientific point of view, it's not scientific at all.
Now, well, there has to be a theory, there has to be some proof of it, doesn't there?
Yes, sir. And now I need to qualify what I'm talking about, because people, this is a common technique of the atheist. I call it a bait and switch technique. Evolution, it means a lot of things to a lot of people. What I'm talking about is macroevolution, where species turn into different species and where life came about by purely materialistic means. Evolution within species means change in kind, and we know that happens. We see that in the various breeds of animals and so forth, but also just naturally species can change. But what evolution says is they can change into different kinds, and there's just no evidence for that whatsoever. And so I started studying those sorts of things. And then in the late 1990s, the intelligent design kind of had its beginning. And the intelligent design community was started by scientists who looked at the science and saw there has to be an intelligence behind it all. And you've already alluded to it a little bit, the fine-tuning of the universe, which is so exquisitely fine-tuned that if it weren't so, then none of us would be alive.
That's true.
And so I started reading the works of Michael Behe and Stephen Meyer and William Dembski and the rest of the fellows and women that are part of the intelligent design community. Sort of became a part of it myself to a small degree. But like I say, and like you said earlier, intelligent design itself will show you there has to be an intelligence behind the universe. It doesn't identify who that intelligence is. So it falls short of doing that. And so my purpose in writing this
book. A quick question here. Now, I know this is a silly question, but why is that important? If there's intelligent design, why do you think it's necessary to prove who it is?
Well, here's my point of view. And again, one of the purpose in writing A Purpose-Driven God, the Apostle Peter says you have to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Now, that answer has to be not just for religious people, quote-unquote, but even those who are a-religious, the atheist, the non-believer, the agnostic. And so you have to be able to do that. And where would your starting point be? You could start with the Bible. Nothing wrong with that, and I've done that before. But for the atheist, I think a starting point is in proving, first of all, there has to be a creator. There has to be an intelligence behind the universe. And I think there's ample evidence for that. And that's a biblical concept as well. As Paul says in the first letter, in the first chapter of his Roman letter, where the heavens and so forth show that there has to be a God and that man is out without excuse. And so that's the first step. And so that's where I am on board with the intelligent design community. And quite frankly, most people in the intelligent design community are Christian. They're not all Christian, but most of them are, or at least they claim to be Christian. The reason they don't advertise it so much is their point of view is we need to show scientifically the probability of God. And then I take it a step further, as you say, especially in the last three chapters of my book. For those people that buy my book, I would the first few chapters, I would say, are a lot of science. I think I had to do that in order to build my case. The last three chapters are a lot more religious-oriented and biblical-oriented. But that's where you come. Once you've established that there is an intelligence in the universe, then we need to identify who that intelligence is.
Well, now, how long did it take to put this book together? I mean, this book has some research put into it. How long did it take to get this thing put together?
Well, I mean, I've been researching it for many, many years in some aspects. But when I actually started writing the book, I would say about a year and a half. And of course, I continued to read while I was writing the book. But a lot of the basic principles in that book I've been studying for quite some time. But the actual process of when I started writing the book till it got to be published was about a year and a half, maybe close to 2 years. Well, there was a lot more years of research than that beforehand, though.
Well, I can only imagine. I mean, you have meticulously been through the details in so many different directions. I've only got to skim the book, but I'm very impressed already. So when you started doing this, how many colleagues that were, we'll say, your peers, were concerned about what you were trying to do?
I don't know if anybody was really concerned about what I was trying to do, because I wasn't advertising that I was writing a book necessarily. And this book was written, my first book, The Evolution Delusion, was written while I was still a practicing physician. And I'm still a practicing physician. I just don't do family practice. I do hospice work, and that is I've actually retired from that as well. I continue to do impairment ratings for the state of Texas and a few other things. But I didn't receive any opposition to it. There are a lot of doctors that are faithful Christians. There are a lot of what goes unheard of because the scientific community won't advertise it, and they never will. But there's a lot of hardcore scientists that are believers. Some of them are a little bit afraid to say that publicly because they're afraid of their job. If it's found out that they believe in intelligent design, if they believe in the Bible, then that makes them kind of an anathema to the scientific community. But it's gaining a foothold. I do believe intelligent design, after about 30 years now, is starting to gain a foothold, and it's becoming a little bit more accepted than it was. And how do I know that? You're starting to see the non-believer scientists actually debate the believing scientists, where before they wouldn't even do that. It was hard to even get a debate, but and writing the book, I didn't run across any opposition because I was writing it basically in private.
So you putting this together now. Have you debated personally other scientists, perhaps, or other specialists about this and shared what you know?
Oh yeah, not publicly. I have not done any public debates. I haven't been asked to. Would I do it? I would if I was asked. But individually, oh very much so. And even in the process of this book, I've been interviewed by some other people about the book, and quite frankly, they were non-believers. In fact, I was interviewed this week by a non-believer that from the United Kingdom, and we got into a bit of a debate. What I was impressed was she did read the entire book, and it was obvious that she did because of the questions that she had. So I hope I at least placed the seed of belief in one non-believer, because I know at least that individual, she said she grew up in a family where her father said, "You're not going to get any religion in this family. If you want to become religious, you'll have to do it after you grow up." which is a sad thing, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, very sad thing. And she made the comment that, speaking of the United Kingdom, Great Britain and Scotland and so forth, Wales, that they're not very religious over there anymore. And that's sad. Their churches are empty over there. And that's a very sad thing.
Well, it's happening here in America, too. But it really is.
Oh, of course it is.
We're losing very quickly. But, you know, what information you put together here, what you're trying to do, if you had somewhere to get a foothold in the debate system somehow, with the knowledge and the information you put out, I believe they'll be afraid to debate you because you can prove what they're saying is a lie. It isn't true. And to believe in evolution or other nonsense is absolute denial of common sense, much less knowledge.
Well, you mentioned it earlier in your intro, and that is worldview. You've got to change somebody's worldview. And like you said, there's many worldviews, but there's really only two, like you talked
That's
about.
Right. Yes.
There's only two that are important. Let's put it that way. And that is you either believe in God and that the universe was created by Him, or you believe like the atheists do, and I call them the materialist, the natural materialist, and that is everything came about by a pure random chance, unadulterated, unguided random chance. So those are your really two options. You're either going to believe in a creator, or you're going to believe everything came about by random chance. Now, that's a hard one to do if you're a materialist, because where do you begin? You're either going to say that matter has always existed, which used to be the prevailing belief, by the way, of scientists. It was called the static state theory. But once Edward Hubble discovered that the universe was expanding through the redshift, looking at the edge of the universe with his telescope, it became obvious that the universe was expanding. And if you've got an expanding universe, you have a beginning of a universe. Something isn't expanding that doesn't have a beginning. So scientists had to now say, well, okay, there isn't just matter. Matter hasn't always been here. Something had a beginning. Now, they want to call that the quote-unquote Big Bang. But there again, what got the Big Bang started? Where did it come from? Was there a matter that was so compacted as to be invisible? And it exploded in the universe that we have now, well, then you've got matter being there to begin with. Or now the prevailing thought is that it started out of quantum fluctuations, which is a mathematical equation. Well, where did the mathematical equation come from if that's the case? They always go back to the beginning, and they really don't have a good answer. And in fact, Stephen Hawking in his book, A Brief History of Time, says, scientists typically don't try to answer those questions because they know they can't.
Mm.
So they avoid them.
Every aspect of creation, and you mentioned in your book mathematics proves in itself there's a God. But, you know, I've always said that our creator is still creating. As you said, the universe is expanding. I believe he's still creating. I mean, I think that's his nature. He creates. I do believe that. But with all the... I'm so anxious to get into this book. I may like to get joining sometime by Skype at a Bible study and share some more of this. But to see that you're proving something as simple, what we call simple, as mathematics prove there is a God, that there is a creator, divine creator, that in itself is fascinating.
Well, mathematics is logic. It's probably the most fundamental science there is, because it's pure logic. 2 + 2 = 4. You have to be pretty spaced out not to believe in that absolute truth. And most mathematical equations, they're logical equations, and they're provable equations. And the universe seems to follow those mathematical equations. Well, math is logic. Logic is mind. Where's that mind that comes from? Where does it come from? 2 + 2, by the way, doesn't have to equal 4, but it does. So Johann Kepler, the great scientist that discovered the elliptical orbits of the planets, was a Christian, and he referred to mathematics as the language of God. And you can understand why, because it shows the logic behind the universe. And how was he able to discover the elliptical orbits of the planets? It was using mathematics and observation. By using observation and mathematics, he was able to do that. And you could say the same thing for Isaac Newton. He was a believer as well. Isaac Newton, possibly one of the greatest minds to ever live, as far as the human mind is concerned, was a devout believer in God, and he was I call him the discoverer of calculus. Some people say, well, he co-invented calculus. He didn't really invent it. Calculus was a fabric of the universe, and he discovered calculus, but calculus was always there. And like you say, there's going to be other discoveries that about mathematics and other things about the universe that we have no idea of right now. But they're there because God placed them there, and they're part of the fabric of the universe. And mathematics falls into that. Now, I'm not a mathematician. You did have to take calculus to go to medical school. I don't know why, because I don't think I ever used calculus when I treated a patient, but I had to do that. But I can understand the logic behind differential equations and integrals and integers and things like that. And it shows a logic. It shows a mind. There's a mind behind it all. My belief is that mind is, in fact, God.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And this was this also proved that there's only one creator. There's not a mass creator bunch that put this all together, because they couldn't guarantee it would never agree on everything. There's one creator, one mind behind it, and he put together everything in such a perfect sequence that it all works together. And how many times have we even used the Bible, as people use the Bible, archaeologists use the Bible to find lost cities and lost civilizations out of the scriptures? How many times has the Bible been proven right scientifically? And again, that's why I say anyone who says there is no God, the Bible says, a fool, and I got to agree with them, they're a fool. To look at creation, as Romans chapter 1 says, and deny there's a God makes a fool out of you. Your heart's dark and you can't see the truth. So that is, to me, is a very simple equation, Dr. Bo. I mean, there's no way around it. People ask, well, what comes first, chicken or egg? Well, obviously, if you believe creation, we know the chicken did. In a systematic order, you know, and that's how it works. Go ahead.
Well, it goes back, like we mentioned earlier, one of the quote-unquote proofs. By the way, I would recommend readers that are really interested in this sort of line of reasoning to check out Stephen Meyer's book, what's the name of the book now? The Proof for God. And in his book, he talks about the three reasons we can prove God scientifically, not the God of the Bible necessarily, but scientifically. And one of them, again, is the precise makeup of the universe. We are exquisitely designed, and we have a
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The cell itself, the basic cell, proves the creation. DNA definitely proves it. Let's back to the break. A lot more talk with Dr. Bo Kirkwood and your phone calls. What an interesting topic. 844-769-2944.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life of over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we're back. Even talking to Dr. Bo Kirkwood about his book, A Purpose-Driven God. It's a book, folks, I recommend. If you have any interest at all in creation and want to understand more about creation and the design behind it and knowing there's a God that designed it, I recommend this book highly. In a minute, we're going to tell you how to get the book. So we'll get a pencil and paper handy. We'll tell you how to get a book, get a copy of your own. But as you're saying before the break, scientists have used the Bible to prove many things they want to know about creation itself and previous civilizations and many other things. So for a scientist, a true scientist, I'm not talking about someone that's a educated fool, but a true scientist sees the hand of creation. They can't deny it. As I was saying before the break, DNA itself proves there's got to be a creator. DNA itself is enough evidence to prove to anyone that there's a creator out there.
I agree with that. Yeah, you know, I agree with that.
I mean, that is so complicated, but so simple. I can't explain that, Dr. Bo, but DNA is so simply put together, but so complicated.
Well, it's Francis Collins referred to DNA as the language of God, as opposed to Johann Kepler calling mathematics the language of God, and both of them are sort of right. And you're right, DNA is relatively simple. It's a complex molecule, but the four base pairs that make up the DNA provide all the information for everything biologic that we've ever discovered. All life is composed of either DNA or RNA, and what's embedded in DNA, and this is the most important thing, is information. The question is, you can build a chemical, but it's the arrangement of those letters, those four base pairs that are in DNA that determine all of our genetic makeup, and it has to have a tremendous amount of information in there. So the question that has to be begged is, where did that information come from? Did it just randomly assemble all by itself and come together by itself? It's sort of, again, the chicken and the egg thing. No, it didn't. And here's the other thing. You mentioned the cell. Mankind has been trying to create life. Scientists are still trying to create life. They have failed miserably. Dr. James Tour out of Rice University here near where I live in Houston has debated these individuals many times, and he's a good one to debate on it because he's a nanoscientist. He knows molecules backwards and forwards. And to date, according to Dr. Tour, they haven't even come close to assembling anything that begins to look like life. And in order to have a cell, also, you have to have a cell membrane. So if you created everything you needed but didn't have a cell membrane, you still wouldn't have life. So what came first, the cell membrane are the genetic code of the DNA that's inside the cell membrane. So it's a fascinating topic, and James Tour is very good. I had the pleasure of meeting him and talking with him, and he is a very devout Christian. He is one of the few that will actually take students on campus and invite them into his home and teach them the Word of God in his own home, and he does it every single week. He's a tenured professor, so he's not worried about losing his job. But the information that we know in DNA begs that there has to be a creator. There has to be intelligent mind behind the creation of the biologic world.
And to know that each living entity, DNA is different. It's not, they're not exactly the same. I mean, how complex is that?
Yeah, it's very complex. I guess identical twins would have the same DNA map, but other than identical twins, you're exactly right. They're still separate individuals, but
yes, they are.
They have the same genetic makeup.
But to think that the God who created all things, made everything individually as an unique individual. There's all creation overall was unique in itself. He made us that way for a purpose. And so to look at all creation and not believe there's a divine creator behind it, it's hard for me to fathom somebody to be that ignorant.
Oh, yeah, for me and you it is. But trust me, there's a lot of ignorance out there. And again, it goes back to that worldview. If you're so entrenched in your worldview that says there cannot be anything supernatural, everything has to be proved by scientists or by science. And Bertrand Russell, the great English philosopher, made that statement many, many years ago, that what we know can only be known through science, and what can't be known through science just cannot be known by man. He was wrong. Because
very wrong.
We can know other things because we have the written word of God. But Bertrand Russell was an atheist and didn't believe in the written word of God. So that's a philosophy known as scientism, and scientism has that philosophy. Now, scientism would have you and I believe that you can't practice good science unless you are an atheist or a materialist. That is categorically wrong. Good science can be, James Tour is one of them, can and has been practiced and is being practiced by believers and has been for centuries. So that's categorically wrong. And I would even argue that it's better science if you begin by looking at there's a designer behind it. So scientists don't want to use the word purpose. They'll stay away from the word purpose all the time. But when they start looking at a biological organism, what's the first thing you want to know? Well, I wonder what the purpose for that is. Why does this bird have this color feathers? Why does this bird have this long a beak? Darwin was looking at purpose when he looked at the animal world. So they look at it with purpose in mind, but they'll never articulate that because for them, scientism doesn't allow for the, quote, theologic approach, which is a purpose-driven approach, and yet good science can be practiced with that belief, and in fact, I think even better science can be practiced with that belief.
And folks, the phone lines are open, 844-769-2944. Well, you mentioned a minute ago about identical twins having the same DNA, but you also mentioned the point, and this is an important point also, you mentioned that they're still different people. They don't always do the same. They don't always think the same. They're still unique in their creation in that way, aren't they?
Yes, sir. And one thing that maybe you have more enlightenment on this than I do, Pastor, but the Bible doesn't precisely tell us when ensoulment starts. Now, I believe that life begins at conception, at conception, if we use the word
too.
Conception.
No doubt about it.
When the sperm enters the egg and begins dividing. But what we're not told precisely is when does the soul enter that developing being. I don't know. I don't know if that can be answered, but I know one thing. It happens way before that individual exits the birth canal. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So those are things that I can't answer when does ensoulment occur. But each individual person has his own soul, his own spirit. The Bible says we'll all be accountable. And that's the other thing that materialism doesn't allow for, that is accountability. If I can lead a life where I don't care about the hereafter, I don't believe there is a hereafter, then I can lead a life with no accountability whatsoever. I think that's one reason we're in the shape we're in this universe. It's called moral relativism. And moral relativism is just another big word for situation ethics.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing in the Bible that would allow for such a thought. But moral relativism is what's led to Nazi Germany. It's what's led to communist China. It's what's led to a lot of materialistic societies in our earth. Fortunately, our government was started with biblical principles. You know, in God we trust. I'm afraid we're rapidly moving away from that.
Oh,
and
you're a fanatic.
Yes. You're a fanatic. Me and you are fanatics if we believe that we should still trust in God.
Well, of course, and it's going to get much worse before it's over. But, you know, evolution, and this started long before I was born in schools, but it started picking up big time in the 60s, was a key effort to undermine the Word of God and the authority of God in mankind's life. It was a way to, as you mentioned, do away with any definite moral standard. You know, we see true laws. I'm talking about laws. The laws of God are never changed. God's the same yesterday and forever. He doesn't change his laws, his statutes, his commandments. All they stay the same forever. But man's moral thoughts and relativism can change laws from a fact. For example, 70 years ago, to kill a baby in the womb was murder. It wasn't tolerated. 50 years ago, basically, to be outright homosexual was still a crime. But man's moral compass has moved itself around to the point now that's all accepted, being normal, and now you and I are the ones that are considered immoral because of our stand. So we can see that man's thought processes, when it comes to what's right and wrong, changes daily, don't they?
Yeah, it's a humanistic point of view. And what it says is, again, moral relativism says what the majority of people think is right now is right.
Uh-huh.
And so if you got the majority of the people, and unfortunately it seems like we're headed that way, especially as you mentioned in the case of abortion, when the majority of people say abortion's okay, then it's okay. No, it's not. That's not what determines the right or wrong of a particular thing. And again, going back to Nazi Germany, what did they say? They said that the Jews were not really people, and that by getting rid of them was actually doing society a favor. Well, if you have a society that believes that way, then that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying all of Germany believed that way, but certainly the Nazis believed that way. Well, you can't determine the right or wrong of something simply because of majority rules. That doesn't make the determination. And just because our society has accepted abortion as a fact of life, and that it's like you said, they've turned it on its head, saying that if you don't allow a woman the right to choose, and they'll use all kind of euphemistic terms, they'll talk about a woman's right to reproductive health care. Let me tell you, abortion has nothing to do with reproductive health care.
Amen. Amen.
It has nothing to do with that. It's not reproductive health. But that's what they want to say, and you're denying someone's reproductive health rights when you say that it's wrong to kill an innocent life. And nobody talks about that, Pastor. To me, I watch a lot of Fox News and Fox shows, and they'll talk about the abortion and so forth. But the big thing is, to me, is it's innocent life. The Bible has always protected innocent life. And you're either going to believe that a developing fetus is not life, therefore it's okay to kill it, or it's wrong to take an innocent life. Those are your two choices.
Yes.
Well, apparently our society has determined that that a developing baby is not a life yet, I guess, until it actually is born. And that's just not right.
Well, you know, again, we got phone calls coming. The folks get your phone call in just a minute. But whenever you mention moral relativism, and I know this has happened in the past, leaders, dictators took over a country. I'm trying to think the nation in Asia did this. But anyone who was considered an intellect was put to death. Even people who wore glasses were put to death. These are things that you think, well, that can't happen. It did happen. It's still happening. Don't tell me it can't happen. It can. But John Wesley one time said this, the founder of Methodism, said, that which we tolerate today will embrace tomorrow. Well, we compromised our way, Dr. Bo, into this hellish place to live today. We compromised our way for whatever reason, go along, get along, then we'll lose our paychecks, whatever it is, we compromised our way into this mess. And I say this to the shame of the people, including myself, a moral people will not tolerate this as a nation, but we have. That speaks something very serious about the condition of America's moral, so-called moral majority today. It does. A moral people will not tolerate the murder of innocent children or the drag queens dancing before the children in the school system. They wouldn't tolerate it. But we have. As a whole, we have.
Yeah, we have.
That shows what there's something lacking in the moral character of America today. Let's go to, talk to Jeff in Canada. Jeff, come on in. Welcome.
Hi. Yes. I have a question here. Well, a questionable statement, I guess. Is it true? I've heard this, but I don't know if it's true. And people say, no, it's not true. That after a person dies, their body weight goes down by a slight amount? In other words, while they're alive,
the soul weighs something. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are you asking me that?
Yeah, he's asking you that,
yes,
right.
Yes, I'm asking that,
I've heard that before. I don't know how scientific that is, but I have heard what you just said before. I don't need that to be true, though, for me to believe in a soul. Whether or not that's true or not,
I don't. That isn't what makes me believe it either, but I would find it, I would really love to find, ask secularists how that's possible.
Yeah,
I've heard some arguments about that they twist and turn. The other thing, too, I have to ask secularists is that, okay, if there is no God, then there is no morality.
We're seeing that, Jeff.
We are. So therefore, why can't I, for example, go down and I see some older woman walking through a dark area? Why can't I just beat her over the skull, even kill her and take everything she has? If there's no God, there's no morality. Therefore, we're in the law of the jungle, right? See, the secularist is trying to construct something, but all I can say to them is, thus say the naked ape. You know, without God, everything is permissible. There is no moral standard. That's how I feel about it.
What happens is you have society then determining the moral standard, and so the secularist, the materialist would say, well, society would say hurting another individual, killing another individual is quote unquote wrong. You know what? Though they'd have, you're exactly right. Why is it wrong? When you pin them down and say, why is it wrong? They can't tell you the why.
No, in moral relativism, So back in biblical times, people sacrificed their children to Baal, burned them alive.
Yes, they did.
Okay?
Yes, they did.
So there you go. So you see, that's what I'm saying. But with God, there's a fixed point of morality that it comes from, that it's anchored on, that we go by. Without it, there's nothing. There really is the law of the jungle.
Well, if there is no absolute moral code to live by, then you don't have a society. You have chaos.
No. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Moral relativism. I've argued with people this sort of point before, and they don't really have any way of defending it, really. They also can't explain the incredible complexity of even a DNA strand that it suddenly evolved because lightning hit it. The whole thing is absolute nonsense. It really is.
It is.
Totally. Anyway, thanks for your call.
All right, good call, Jeff. Good call.
Good
point.
I agree with you.
All right, let's see who's next. Let's go to Fred right here in West Virginia. Fred, good morning and welcome.
Yes, hi, Pastor Butch. I've got a question for the guest.
Okay.
So what puzzled me about the theory of evolution for a long time was when they explain a certain enhancement that a creature would acquire. And they would say the reason for it was they needed it to survive. Why would they assume that a creature would survive? Have you ever thought about this, or is that
good point.
I thought about it.
Have you ever noticed?
It goes back to, first of all, why life? If you're a materialist, why is there any type of life? why would life begin spontaneously out of nothing but a bunch of chemicals? They really can't answer that. One fellow who's a pretty smart guy by the name of Sean Carroll, who's a physicist, has tried to describe it, and it's a very pitiful reason. He says life is to allow for entropy to continue, which is nonsense because life is actually complex. It goes against entropy. So they can't even begin to answer why life in the beginning. And secondly, why does a species care if its species continues on after that individual dies? It has no reason to. I talk about that in my book. I look at the thing, like on my ranch here where we have horses. Why does that mother horse care about that little foal that she just had? Well, that's instinct. That's maternal instinct. But my question is, but why? Why does she care about it? Well, that because she wants the species to continue. There again, why does that horse give a lick about whether or not horses continue after that individual horse has died? You can't explain that. And I think maternal instinct is there because of what God has put in those. And the book of Proverbs talks about that. And Psalms talk about that as well. So you make a very good point. Why life, and why does a species even care whether or not it goes on or not?
Now, what's your name?
Go ahead, Fred.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
What's the name of your book? I'm going to have to read it now.
Purpose-Driven God. Bo Kirkwood.
Okay.
And how can you get it?
Comment. What's
easy?
That?
Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com. There's several other websites. If you just Google my name, Bo Kirkwood, or just A Purpose Driven God by Bo Kirkwood, it'll pop up on Google and direct you where you can go get it.
Okay.
Okay. All thank
right.
you very much.
Thank you, Fred, for the call.
Thank you, Fred.
You know, I say this to glory God. I have some very intelligent listeners out there. Why they listen to me, Dr. Bo, I have no idea. But, but they do.
I don't believe that.
I'm amazed at the reasoning ability of these people that actually listen to this broadcast. It makes me feel humbled that they even take time to listen to this old hillbilly. But anyway, let's see. Any more calls coming in. Folks, the line's open, 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Now, Dr. Bo, again, tell me about how I get the book a little bit slower and name the book.
Well, Purpose-Driven God is the name of the book, and written by myself, Bo Kirkwood. If you go to Amazon, it'll have to be shipped to you. Unfortunately, you're not going to find it in most bookstores. But if you went to your local Barnes & Noble and asked them to order it for you, they could do that for you. But you can get it on BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, and there's a few other, I don't remember their names, but there's several other more religious-oriented places on the web that you can get my book.
All right, folks, you heard that. A purpose-driven God.
As you can tell, I'm passionate about it. I really want to drive home the point. Intelligent design is fine. It can get you to believe that there has to be an intelligence behind the universe, but that's not going to save your soul, Pastor.
No, it's
you
not.
It's not going to be enough. The devils believe and tremble. You're going to have to believe now. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe the proof of that, and I talk about it in my book as well. I think the proof of that comes in his resurrection. As the Apostle Paul says, if Christ is not resurrected, then we are of all men to be pitied.
But he
was resurrected. He was bodily resurrected, and it was witnessed by hundreds and hundreds of people. Paul said at least 500 people, and most of them that were still alive at the time when he wrote his letter were witness to his bodily resurrection, and Paul being one of them as well. And here's my thing to the atheists. I said, well, maybe they were all delusional. Well, if they were all delusional, then many, many Christians went to their death as martyrs, mm-hmm. believing that they had seen the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to anyone?
It doesn't. Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Let's go to Arizona and talk to Gary. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, brothers. Hey, I just want to say something that's very, very simple. The very fact okay, that, you know, I'm standing on the side of my porch right now, and I see a rabbit eating a carrot that my wife put out. Okay? Now, if there is no God, there was no creation. There was no creation. There is no creation without God. Someone had to create, and we know who the creator was. And we have all the different species. We have men, women, you know, men, animals, fish on the sea. It's very clear that there was a creator. So to turn your back on your creator, okay, you turn your back on what, G-O-D, well, who we call God. Now, nobody else can make that statement. Nobody else can make that statement. They can come up with anything they want to, but it all boils back to the creator of all things because we live in creation.
Amen.
Would you like
Amen.
To comment on that, sir?
Okay, you got about a minute and a half left, Dr. Bo. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. And like you said, the Bible's clearly, and I talk about it in my book towards the end, the Bible clearly identifies who that creator is. And what did the Apostle John say? The Word was with God. The Word became God. That was Jesus Christ. Everything was created through Jesus Christ, and the Apostle John talks about that. And, yeah, you don't get, you know, you don't get something from nothing. God created it all. He created at the very beginning. The time itself had a very beginning, if you believe the book of Genesis. So I agree with you totally.
Okay. Good comment, Gary. Anything else?
I just want to thank everybody who prayed for me when my blood sugar went down.
Yep.
And I'm a lot better right now. I still have a few problems. But by the grace of God and the prayers of the saints, and I have to believe what I believe. I believe in the God of creation. I believe the God of glory. And I believe the God of the people who prayed for me.
Amen.
God bless you both.
Thank you for the
Good
call.
For you.
Great interview, Dr. Bo. I've enjoyed this tremendously. Can I have you on again sometime?
Sure. Just tell me when.
This has been phenomenal. One more time.
I will tell you, I had to give up Bible class tonight to do this.
tell them not to cut your pay with this one time, okay?
I'm not the teacher, but we have a real small church here. We're in College Station, which is a big university town, but our little church is not very big. So when someone misses, everybody knows it. But my wife went in my stead, and so if we don't have to miss church too many times, yeah, I can do it.
Okay, all right, my friend. Again, name the book and how to get it very quickly.
A Purpose-Driven God by Bo Kirkwood.
Okay, folks. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, get the book, read it. I promise you'll enjoy it. Thanks a lot, Dr. Bo. I'll be talking to you in the future. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. And folks, we'll see you in the office tomorrow. I'll be here from 9 to 10 at least, and hopefully maybe a little bit tomorrow afternoon. I can't promise that. We're going to try. Y'all have a great night. God bless. Bye-bye.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.